After the collapse of communist rule, several countries in Eastern Europe decided to open the files of the secret police. In Russia, access to files has been restricted, and this is not likely to change anytime soon. Russia's president, Vladimir Putin, is a former KGB officer, and he's recruited other ex-security men to work with him in the Kremlin. In part three of a series on how Russians are coming to terms with their past, NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports that only a few citizens have seen their old KGB files.
Satirical writer Vladimir Voinovich always thought of himself as a realist. His hilarious books about Brezhnev-era bureaucrats were inspired by his own life in the so-called period of stagnation that preceded the collapse of the Soviet system. Voinovich lost his citizenship and was forced into exile because of his stories and because of his support for dissident writers. After his citizenship was restored, he returned to Russia for another reality check. The KGB wouldn't open up his files.
I did not get these files because when I tried to do it in 1992, I had a message from Yeltsin who ordered KGB to show me, but they did not do it, and they showed me only two pieces of paper.
All the rest of the documents, he was told, were burned. So he never learned what he wanted to, like whether he was poisoned by KGB agents in 1975, as he suspects.
I was summoned to KGB first, and then I was invited to Hotel Metropole, and then I was poisoned. I don't know exactly how, but I think they changed my cigarettes. I was hard smoker at that time.
Voinovich is angry that the KGB never came clean with him and never apologized, not to him, not to the nation. He says it's far different from his second home, Germany, where Stasi secret police files were opened and where citizens could learn who was informing on them. Voinovich believes Moscow should have gone the route of other East European nations, which passed what were called lustration laws to make public the names of secret police officers or bar former party bosses from government positions. But many don't agree. Former political prisoner Mikhail Kazachkov is now a businessman living in Boston. He says he never supported the idea of a lustration law or any other way of settling scores.
I was very pleased to see how the nation dealt with this idea. Nobody was arguing against it. It was quietly dismissed. It went nowhere. It died a quiet death, being completely ignored.
Kazachkov says confronting the past was not Russia's priority. It was difficult, he adds, because Russia has no one else to blame for its tragic past.
The Russians have to face the music themselves. Nobody did it to us. We have to face this reality and come to terms. And it's not a bad idea to come to terms by facing the most urgent and outstanding needs first, like the crumbling infrastructure. I'm much more concerned about bridges starting to collapse than about how people relate to this or that particular KGB officer.
The trouble with moving on, though, is that neither the KGB nor the Communist Party was ever really forced to repent. Next to the notorious Lubyanka prison in central Moscow, where political prisoners were interrogated, officers with the FSB, the successor of the KGB, run their own little museum. The museum's director and the guides are so obsessed with secrecy, they refuse to give their names or be interviewed. The museum makes no mention of the KGB's efforts to suppress dissidents or harass authors like Voinovich. Instead, it shows the more popular side of the secret services— weapons used in the fight against terrorism in Chechnya, and the sneaky spy gadgets created during the Cold War. Andrei Raginsky, who heads the human rights group called Memorial, regrets not pursuing cases against the KGB and the Communist Party back in the late 1980s when the Soviet Union was falling apart.
It seemed to us that things are going so well in the right direction. We didn't need to launch legal proceedings against those responsible for crimes. We just decided to come up with a list of names of those responsible so Russians would know. Andrei Sakharov insisted this was the best way. But as it turned out, it was a mistake, because people need to hear an official assessment of the past. The government never gave its appraisal, and neither did our legal system. This has made our job at Memorial much harder.
The one court case against the Communist Party in 1992 failed to draw much attention and shed little light on the party's past. Roginski's colleague at Memorial, Nikita Akhotin, says there was only a brief period when officials were interested in looking back into history, but only for political reasons.
The interest in history was mainly a political tool. The communists had to be discredited. Their monopoly on power had to be destroyed. This was accomplished by accusing the party of crimes. So the impulse was political. It was part of a strategy. Once the communist regime was destroyed, the interest in digging up history sort of faded.
Memorial is one of the few groups still fighting to open up Russian archives. The organization's director, Roginski, sees every new book published, every new case that comes to light, as a major victory. But he says most Russians are happy to leave the work to the historians.
Some people answered the questions they had about the past and then lost interest. Others resolved their own issues. They got a paper saying their grandfather was repressed unfairly, and that was it. But for the majority, life just became so hard and everything was so new. When people have empty stomachs or can't find work, they feel the government has abandoned them. There's a strong sense of social injustice. And it turns out that the social injustice is much sharper than political injustice.
And with no real demand for justice, former prisoners of the Gulag have never sued for compensation. Communists have continued to wield influence in parliament, and the KGB's successor, the FSB, has seen its prestige rise again. A recent FSB order allows Russians to give anonymous reports about their neighbors and colleagues. It all sounds like a revival of the system of informants used against Soviet dissidents, like Vladimir Voinovich. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Moscow.